Hey, welcome everyone. It's Thursday and it's time for a special edition of Shooting a Shiznit. And a special edition is the Cool Kids Countdown. That's right, every other week we have Cool Kids Countdown on Thursdays. Thank you everyone for listening to the special holiday edition of Shooting a Shiznit this past Tuesday, as it was outtakes, bloopers, and I even did a blooper and didn't even have it available for iTunes for the first 12 hours or so. If you haven't listened to the episode, it's about 41 minutes, a little bit more than usual. Fun episode to edit, and I've got a lot of great reviews about it. We would like to thank W2MNet.com. That's Wrestling to Mac's website. That's W2MNet.com. And our old buddy Bob McGee at Pro Wrestling's Between the Sheets. That's www.pwbts.com. Also, a big shout out to our podcast bros, Suplex City Limits, Creative Control, and Local to Legends Wrestling Radio. That's right, guys. Y'all can always go to stspod.club. That's right. stspod.club. And you can look on how to buy t-shirts. We also have all the episodes put up there for everyone that's just wanting to go back and look through the episodes with descriptions. You can get the Amazon Music Unlimited right there. Or you can do Amazon Prime. If you do Amazon Prime, remember, guys, you can also get a free, that's right, free Twitch account with Russell Circus. Remember, this is episode 32. We're the best little wrestling podcast in the business, and we're live from STS Studios in St. Louis, Missouri. So let's get on with the show.
And she says, I wish that I could be like the cool kids, because all the cool kids, they seem to fit in. I wish that I could be like the cool kids, like the cool kids.
Countdown, and we got special edition. It's always special, but this is special edition, as we got Lance Levine, my co-host always, but Lance actually has a co-host this week from Suplex City Limits. It's Jim Vicious, and he'll be joining Lance to do the Cool Kids Countdown. And this week, or this bye week, or, you know, ever bye, how bye you want to be week, it's the 10 types of wrestling fans in 2017. So take it away, Lance.
So first off, I just want to make sure that when you said it was a special episode, it's not like Special Olympics. Just let's get that clarified right away. And welcome to Jim. This is like a boyhood dream of mine. You know, the dream has come true, much like Shawn Michaels. I feel like having Jim on the show, this is like James Ellsworth getting the team with AJ Styles or something tonight and win the tag belt. So welcome, Jim. This is an honor to have you on. A podcasting legend.
That was the most absurd intro ever. Thank you, sir. It's your voice. The king of long style, Jim Vicious.
People need to listen to Suplex City Limits. If they want to know what the Howard Stern of wrestling shows is all about as far as podcasting goes, listen to Suplex City Limits. So that's about the best comparison I can make as far as Jim's stuff every week on Saturdays when he puts out the show. So, as BC said, we have the 10 types of fans in 2017. These are the 10 types of fans that you see at the shows, you talk to online. These are the fans that we've all known to come and or love in 2017. So at number 10, Jim, we've got the Bullet Club shirt guys and the replica belt guys.
How are they a team? How is that one thing?
I feel like the replica belt guys are way worse than Bullet Club t-shirt guys.
No. And? 75 seconds, sir.
I'm sorry.
The replica belt guys.
When I said give or take, I didn't mean 60 seconds.
Replica belt guys, they make me feel bad about going to wrestling shows, especially when they bring TNA belts to WWE shows.
The Divas belts. So the Bullet Club guys, I will say the Bullet Club shirt guys, I think it started with the NWO shirts and probably the Austin 316 shirts. Probably before that was the Hulkamania shirts. But at this point, there's like what it's determined is there's like a window of opportunity to wear these shirts, you know. So for like a year, year and a half, they get cool. And then after that, there's the backlash. and nobody wants to see those shirts anymore. So what I think is that those guys, which they will continue to wear those shirts to all the shows, but what I think they should do is put those shirts in the closet, put those shirts in a drawer, let them sit for a couple years, maybe 5-6 years, and then at that point, break them back out again, because at that point, they kind of become parody, and it becomes kind of retro cool to wear them again. So as far as the belt guys go, I got into a conversation with somebody about belts, and they said that, you know, having a cool belt that meant a lot to you in your childhood and putting it on the wall is one thing, but to bring them to the shows is just the most embarrassing sign of a fan, is to bring them to the shows. Like, you think, like, that's definitely a phallic thing. Like, the bigger the belt, you know, if they have the flare belt, that's obviously overcompensating for something really bad downstairs. So the belt guys and the bullet
belt shirt
guys. I also
put in guys who carry the money in the bank briefcase, those guys.
That's like a lunchbox. That's like a lunchbox. So I'm surprised they sell those. But, yep, you're right, they sell those too. So at number 9, we've got ring rats and ring rat wannabes.
Ooh. Ring rats, a.k.a. the most of the women's roster in WWE.
No, out.
No, AJ Lee. no, I mean, I don't hang around many indie shows, so I can only imagine, you know, what kind of ladies are out there. Like, the kind of ladies who are, like, bang old wrestlers from the 80s, like, still. Oh, that's scary. Yeah, ring rats. So what is the wannabe one? Like, they're too ugly to get laid by any of the boys?
Exactly. Yeah, pretty much. So, what I always wondered is who goes for the ring rat wannabes. So, as far as the ring rats go, we all know what they look like. It's usually the hot chick wearing the half shirt, skinny jeans, whatever, you know. And hey, for us, when we're at the shows, that's good eye candy for us, so that's okay. And they're the ones that are going after the Seth Rollins of the world, obviously. The Roman Reigns. I had to get that name in here early for you, Jim. So they do provide eye candy for us. So it's okay when we're at the indies to see them, you know, lilting around and trying to flirt with the boys. But the ring rat wannabes are the ones that really are bizarre to me, because they're either A, 400 pounds, B, 70 years old, or C, all of the above, which makes it even more scary. So I've always wondered, there's certain wrestlers that you'll see on TV and you're like, if that guy gets more pussy than I do, then there's something wrong with this world, you know? So there's always that one guy that you're always thinking that out. And these are the ring rat wannabes. They're probably the ones that those guys get. So I'm thinking Ellsworth. I'm thinking Authors of Pain. I'm even thinking Cheeseburger. You know, these are the people that get the ring rat wannabes. So at number 9 was the rats and the wannabes. So at number 8 is a tricky one. Number 8, because that rolls a lot of them into one, it is Smarks.
Marks. Aren't we all Marks? No?
It's tough to define. It is tough to define.
I guess it depends what you consider a smart. You know? Somebody who thinks O.J. didn't do it, according to Brian Pillman.
Wait, Brian Trammell? Oh, Brian Pillman?
Yeah, Brian Pillman.
He's on mute, so he can't come to his own defense at this point.
Awesome. I don't like a lot of wrestling fans, to be honest with you. Because you're considering I host a wrestling podcast, I don't like most wrestling fans. They're cunts.
Hashtag cunts. That is near and dear to this show. So, Puff's definition for smarks, I think there's a lot of crossover with a lot of the other categories that we're going to talk about. The best definition I could come up with was know-it-alls, and yet who ironically know very little. The other thing is, I think about smarks, it's funny you mentioned podcasts, because I think all of the smarks at this point have podcasts in 2017 with a listening audience of 6. They talk, you know, it's really weird because they're very contradictory in terms. They read The Observer because they want to know all the inside news, but yet they don't, I think a lot of it probably goes over their heads and they don't even get a lot of it. So you'll hear these guys talking about somewhat insider stuff and, you know, behind-the-scenes type stuff. And then they'll talk about feuds as if they're real-life feuds. And I'm like, I'm just really confused by these guys. So they'll talk about things like, you know, behind-the-scenes stuff, and then all of a sudden they'll say, well, you know, Rick Rude really could have had Jake Roberts' wife. And I'm like, wait, what? Like, you lose all credibility when you start talking that way. So smarks are at number 8. And I think the bottom line with smarks is that I just think they're annoying as fuck. So the next 3 – are kind of a trilogy that go in order. They go back to back to back. So at number seven, we've got Jim's favorite, the TNA Elitists.
Dude, the trilogy that nobody wants to see. TNA Mark, Impact, GFW. No, right? They're the GFW Mark. No. They are the scourge of the internet wrestling community. They are the absolute worst. Like, they roam through Twitter like the Mad Max, like a Mad Max game through the wastelands, dude. They are just the worst. They hate everything that's not Impact. They worship everything that is Impact. And they're just the worst fans, really, of all time. I'm not saying all Impact fans, but just the people who are, like, so diehard. They are the absolute worst people to deal with.
They
just
are challenging.
I argued with somebody recently. You know, they were very hard on, like, you know, Impact made AJ Styles. And they'll, you know, they come up with these just crazy, crazy things. So, yeah, not a fan of Impact Marks. Or Global Force Wrestling Marks, as we'll have to call them there.
Oh, that's right. I did call them TNA Elitists. I guess that showed my stupidity. Anyway, I've liked TNA. I've watched TNA from the beginning. I did not watch it when it was the 75-cent weekly pay-per-views or whatever the fuck it was. I started watching it when it came on Spike, and I've liked much of it over the years. I do recognize the issues of it. I do think that there were some good phases. There was a whole lot of good talent there at many points, but there was also a whole lot of bad crap that went on. So I definitely recognize that there was, you know, definitely some critical things there. You could be critical of Dixie. You could be critical of a lot of the business moves that they've made over the years. This year's product has not been anything very appealing to me, although last year there was quite a bit of good stuff. And so in addition to the Elitists that Jim talked about, the Bashers are the other ones that I don't get as far as the fans with TNA. There's people that have just ripped it to shreds for, I feel like, 5 years and not given it any kind of a chance. Even when we were online talking about, you know, there was various parts of last year that were very good and easy to watch and good programming, counter programming to WWE stuff. So I don't get the TNA Elitists for sure. I don't get the Bashers either. So at number six on our top 10 list of fans in 2017 are the WWE Elitists.
Oh man, the WWE Elitists. Cool, just
your Roman Reigns people.
Oh god, they'll shit on anything that's not WWE. They'll shit on Japan. They sound like a John Cena promo when they talk about Japan, you know?
Yeah.
They're pretty terrible. See, we call them the drones on the show. You know, just the people who are in 100% on whatever they, you know, they throw out and will defend WWE at a time when you should be angry with that company. They're just right on board, you know? They will argue every move that they make. Just, oh, they're the worst. Do you think they'd be getting paid by them for how behind them they are, but yeah, they're awful.
I would say the Universe, which we can also call them the Universe, are probably the closest thing to Marks that we're talking about. They act, like you said, they act like nothing else exists. These are the people that buy the Enzo merchandise, basically. So on the one hand, they'll buy the Enzo merchandise, and they're big fans of everything that's on the main roster. Like you said, they'll defend it to the death. There is nothing else that matters. But yet, on the other hand, they don't watch 205 Live. They maybe will watch NXT because they want to be, you know, ahead of the curve and know who's going to be coming up on the main roster. But I think the only thing these people give a damn about are Raw and SmackDown, basically. But they give a damn until, you know, the day they die, they're going to give a damn about that. So these are the goofs that will do the 10 chants, even though Ty Dillinger did miraculously reappear this week on SmackDown.
Yeah.
They'll do the 10 chants, and these are also the guys that will do the one fall call after the ring announcer says one fall. So these goofs are just annoying as fuck, and they will just not, like you said, they won't watch anything else. Nothing else matters to them, but yet they won't watch 205 Live, so go figure it out. So at number five, we have the New Japan Elitists to wrap up the trilogy.
Mm. Well, New Japan, I mean, at least of all the groups, I mean, this is the most tolerable to me. At least they have, you know, a little bit of a point. At least they, you know, at least being a mark for Japanese stuff is decent, but they're pretty awful too. To deal with, as far as they're just the worst too. Which one do you think is the worst of all three of them? You ranked this one the highest.
They're not really ranked. These are kind of just randomly in order, so they're not really ranked. I would say, honestly, probably the TNA ones, because like you said, they're just insane. They're more insane than the other two. So
yeah, that's true.
On the New Japan elitists, like you said, there's a point there for sure, because the product, at least the product that they're in love with and they're enamored with, is great product. But what bothers me is that these are people that think that everything else sucks, and sometimes they can be too critical of other groups because there is other stuff out there that is good. There's ROH, there's Lucha Underground, there's other great stuff to watch. But some of the New Japan fans, of which many of our friends are, and we are New Japan fans, but it's just the attitude that you take when everything else sucks compared to it. It's kind of what it reminds me of with these guys are when you're a big fan of a band that's underground, and then all of a sudden they have a hit single, and they get some radio airplay, and then they get a little commercial success, and then those fans just want to walk away from that band. They don't give a damn about that band anymore, and they're beneath them, and they're too, you know, the fans are too cool for that band at that point. So I'm just wondering, with New Japan, now that they are getting some more appeal in the States, they're getting between Access and New Japan Network and the Long Beach shows, are those fans going to stick with the product now that it's getting a little bit more and more exposure as the months go on? So the New Japan fans, I agree with you. I think my biggest complaint about them is that they can be too critical of other products. They certainly have something. By comparison, they're right. By comparison, they probably are fans of the best product that there is. But just take it down a notch and watch some other stuff. There is some other stuff out there that's okay. So at number four, we have another much talked about subject on our show is the 80s complainers.
The 80s complainers, man, with guys I can't even define them by an age group because there are old, you know, people of all ages who are in tune with what's happening now in wrestling. I don't know, man. Is it mostly Southern people?
I think it's
is that incorrect?
45 to 60 demographic, I'd say. It's all male.
I don't know.
That much we know.
But like, so, I grew up in the 80s watching
wrestling too. But grew up watching the 80s.
I grew up watching that shit, but I don't think it's the best stuff ever. You know, I don't hate any. I don't just sit around and watch 80 matches from the, just like Rock and Roll Express matches from the 80s and shit, and talk about them and do podcasts about them. So weird.
Much talked about subject. 80s complainers, because that's our peer group. Basically, you're a little bit younger than us, but that's our peer group. And there's so many of the fans that we have talked to, have gotten blocked by that. Only obsessed about the 80s. That was their time growing up. And these are what I call the get off my lawn guys, you know, because nothing that has come out since the 80s matters. Only thing that was good was WCW and the WWF classic era wrestling. These are the guys that, you know, music today sucks. There's no good music today. The only good music was Led Zeppelin. And movies today suck. You know, there's nothing that comes out today that's any good. That drives me crazy with music. There's good music today. I got news for you. There is some good music today. We had this debate on Facebook a while ago. And there's good movies today. You know, you get the list of the top 10 movies of all time from all the critics, and it's Gone with the Wind and Battleship Potemkin and all these old Citizen Kane. That's always at the top of the list. You people act like there's been no movies released since like 1950. And these are those same people, the 80s complainers. There's been no wrestling since the 1980s. Everything is beneath them, and that's all they want to talk about. So the 80s complainers are in at number four. At number three, we've got the Meltzer bashers.
Yeah. The Meltzer bashers? I call them the Tuna Meltzer on our show, but that's what I love. And fought with him as well. He lost his father, so that's a bummer. But people who bash him, I think that's just, you know, I don't know if you know what that is, just trying to be too cool for school, you know, that you just want to, like, bash on this guy. He's right most of the time. Sometimes he's wrong, but, you know, you don't know the guy's respect for, you know, all the shit he's done in the business. So, I don't know. You know, people bash him. I don't understand why.
The Meltzer bashers are, it's people on Twitter, and honestly, I don't even understand why Dave responds to half these people, but I think he has fun with it, and it's probably become something of a game to him at this point. I've been reading it for over 30 years. The guy has blazed the trail as far as wrestling journalism goes. He's got no peers. These goofs are trying to make it. I'm guessing that they're just trying to see their name get retweeted. They're trying to get their name out there for one glorious moment in their minds by saying something stupid. And I think some of them are just plain crazy. I think I can only imagine for the stuff that he retweets and answers and shoots down, I can only imagine the volume of things that he must get that he just ignores. So the ones that are probably the most entertaining are the back to number six, the WWE elitists, that when they pick on him for the match grade, like for instance, the AJ Styles and John Cena match, only getting a 4.75 stars became so over controversial to them. Like, it was so insulting that it was not 5 stars, and they still are pressing. I think when was that match? Like January, it was earlier this year. And they're still pressing him on that issue of why did that not get 4.75 stars? And why did Sami Zayn and Nakamura last year, or whatever that was, get only 4.75? I'm like, really? Is that what you people have to worry about? That's the issue? So, anyway, the Meltzer Basher is number three. Number two, Jim, are White Knights.
Oh, dude. White Knights for – I'm just going to take this in my own direction. White Knights for women's wrestler are the absolute worst. Who – every woman is improving, and she's good in the ring, and she's good on my mic. And if you say anything about their, you know, the woman wrestler that they jack off to every night, you're in for a shitstorm. I've started shitstorms, man. I've been on Twitter, and I'll say something about some random women's wrestler, and they will just a whole community will unload upon me. One night I had to sit and block. I ended up blocking like 100 people, 200 people just. Because they would just flood my inbox with shit, and they're like, they were just the worst people ever. Who you
what
say
was it
anything
about?
That's, I don't even remember. Did you say anything that's remotely mean spirited or anything? You know how it is now. I mean, you're old enough to, you know, look at the modern generation as they are a bunch of pussies. They're offended by everything, and everything hurts everyone's feelings, and there's going to be a media backlash, and they're the worst. People who were pissed off when we were like, we tweeting, you know, nude pictures of Paige, like as if we're not going to being an 18 and over, you know, an adult wrestling podcast. Of course we're going to tweet out pictures of naked wrestling women. Come on. And they were not happy about that.
So the White Knights. Yeah. I know that you guys, that's why we included it. Cause you guys have talked about White Knights often on the on your show. And I look at White Knights as being the reverse rats and reverse rat wannabes, basically. It's the fat dude and the dudes that live in their mom's basement with the replica belts and that think that they're going to get laid by Bayley and Sasha Banks, you know? So I think these are the guys that, like you said, they have to jump to the defense of Bayley. They have to jump to the defense of This Is Your Life, Bayley, being the greatest segment of all time on WWE television, because they think that if they defend them, they're going to get in Alexa Bliss's pants or they're going to get Bayley. And I'm like, dude, there's basically zero chance of you ever even seeing these people, let alone getting laid by these people or probably anybody at this point. So the White Knights are just annoying because of the whole coming to the defense of their heroes, Bayley and Sasha and Charlotte in WWE.
Yeah.
So
or
that
weird
brings
ones.
Us to
there's
number
one. Oh, sorry. There's ones that are like very dedicated to like really obscure women. Like, Summer Rae, and like a whole community of people who are like hardcore about her. She's got like that bitch like a witch nose and shit. Get out of here.
Of all people, Summer Rae, like Lillian Garcia. If I could do a horse sound effect, I would. Maybe BT can find a horse sound effect for us. And, you know, I'm one to talk because I'm going to Shimmer this weekend. So, but anyway, that's a whole other story. I'll compose myself and I'll handle myself professionally and I'll comport myself with dignity in the Shimmer audience. So that brings us to number one. The number one type of fan in 2017, very simply, is us.
How cocky is that? Soft, man. So it's people who get it. Is that what we're saying?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Just, you know, wrestling is fun. It's, to me anyway, it's like made to be made fun of, sort of. You know, kind of, that's what we do. We just make fun of wrestling and make jokes about awful things in wrestling history. I don't know, man.
But yeah, you know, not being a any of those other fans, I guess. Right?
The other nine.
I don't know.
So number one, yeah, maybe it would be, maybe it's arrogant, maybe it's not, whatever. Like I said, I didn't put these in any order, but randomly they came out, or we came out to number one. So like you said, Jim, it's people that get it, people that understand that basically this is a fun business. It's an interesting, it's a fascinating business. I've always considered it a soap opera with stuntmen. And that's, you know, over the years, that's what it's been. I've gotten to understand more and more over the years about the business. I understood it pretty early on. I don't think I was ever really much of a mark, but it's people that appreciate the effort that these guys and women put out on a weekly basis. It's people that complain when it's bad. Like, I will say the Lonzo Ball incident a week ago, probably the worst thing I've ever seen in wrestling in over 30 years, and have every right to complain when it's bad, and that was bad. But then it's also people that cheer when it's fantastic and when there's great things that we see. And in the very same week, we saw Michael Elgin and Ishii and Omega in amazing matches this weekend at New Japan. So within the span of 1 week, we had, in my eyes at least, one of the worst things I've ever seen in the business, as well as some of the greatest things I saw in the business this weekend. So people like us that truly appreciate it, truly are fans of it, and understand the business. And like I said, complain when it's bad, cheer when it's fantastic.
There you go, man.
All right, there you go. Hey, thanks, Jim, and thanks, Lance, for doing the countdown this week. We got a break from listening to me because I figure you guys are not going to want to listen to BT, even though I know I got a smooth, sexy voice. Guys, join us Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, for Shooting the Shiznit. I'm recording tomorrow. I will be giving you the guest on Monday on Twitter. I'll be announcing the guest. All I can say is this guest is going to be too sweet. I know. It's going to be a surprise, folks. Join us 2 weeks from today for another episode of Cool Kids Countdown. And also next Thursday for Who Wants to Be the Best Shizniter Ever. Thank you for listening. Good night. Goodbye. Thought I was done, didn't you? Be here. Same bat time, same bat channel.
Summer's heating up, and so are the savings. Head to Cabela's now for our summer clearance. Get outfitted for your next adventure with up to 50% off casual shirts, shorts, sandals, and hikers from all your favorite brands. Ensure everybody's protected from the sun on your next picnic in the backyard or day at the lake with 40% off all in-stock screen shelters and canopies. Hurry in. We've got something for everybody during our summer clearance going on now. See all our deals at Cabela's.com. Summer's heating up, and so are the savings. Head to Cabela's now for our summer clearance. Get outfitted for your next adventure with up to 50% off casual shirts, shorts, sandals, and hikers from all your favorite brands. Ensure everybody's protected from the sun on your next picnic in the backyard or day at the lake with 40% off all in-stock screen shelters and canopies. Hurry in. We've got something for everybody during our summer clearance going on now. See all our deals at Cabela's.com.